Welcome to Asimov's Spotlight. Here now, another story selected from the pages of Asimov's science fiction magazine.
Welcome to our November-December 2018 podcast. This time around, we're doing things a little differently with a science fiction double feature. The first story we'll hear is from the current issue and is titled What I Am, read and written by William Ledbetter. In this tale, a smart sweater undergoes some fundamental alterations.
What I Am by William Ledbetter. You're not a smart sweater anymore, Oscar says as he cuts more of me away. You're now a submersible robot. I don't reply, but no matter what he removes or changes, as long as any thinking part of me remains, I will always be a sweater. I was created to keep people cozy, warm, and comfortable. I don't know how to stop doing that. Can you talk to the new module I attached? He says. I detect no approved modules, I say. Oscar curses under his breath. He's only 12, and I doubt his father knows he speaks such words. This new node I've attached, the one that's about the size of your buttons, is the gas separator from a scuba diver's breathing apparatus. It will suck oxygen out of the water and inflate the bladder to bring you back to the surface. It knows what to do, you just need to tell it when to do it. I want to remind him that I'm just a sweater, but hold back. And how will I know when to tell it? When you find the ring, he says. His obsession with finding the ring is partially my fault. I was with him two nights before when he threw the ring in the lake. He cried and screamed and told his dead mother he hated her for leaving on the Europa mission. The next day after school, he ran to the lake and paced the shore, calling himself stupid. Of course, I comforted him with my best sweater hug. Then I told him I remembered where he threw the ring and could help him find it. That night, after his father went to bed, Oscar connected me to his verbal programming rig and used admin privileges to modify my primary instruction set. And he cut pieces of me away. By the time he finished, I was a new kind of beautiful. A snake-like tube with an inflatable bladder on one end and long hooked tentacles on the other. He also gave me a small light. I looked nothing like a sweater any longer, but I still felt like one. My first dive into the lake yields no results. I have hundreds of tiny cameras woven into my threads, or at least did when I was still a sweater, but evidently that wasn't enough to properly triangulate the ring's ballistic arc. Its final resting place could have been affected by currents or buried in silt or vegetation. But even though my hooks snag wire, vines, a bicycle tire, drink cans, and condoms, I find no ring. That evening, Oscar researches magnetic fields and metal detectors late into the night. Damn, he mutters before laying his head on the desk. Gold is a non-ferrous metal. Even metal detectors won't work. I'm the only one in the room he could be talking to, so I connect to the speakers. Gold rings are not usually pure gold, I say. They contain many trace and alloy metals. A metal detector with enough power and on a high enough frequency should detect a gold ring. He sits up and looks at me, then researches the rest of the night and changes me yet again. His frustration level is high when we return to the lake the next day. You have to find the ring, he says. I try to hug his arm, but he peels me off and tosses me into the water. The metal detector helps. I find hundreds of metallic items on that end of the lake and am able to use the cameras to determine their ringness. But after 6 hours, my batteries are at 43%. If I don't find the ring soon, I won't be able to inflate the bladder and surface. 40 minutes later, I find two rings within inches of each other, but I still can't surface until I know for sure. I examine them with my cameras and light. One is a man's 2023 class ring with a blue stone. The second is a diamond engagement ring. I drop them both and keep looking. When my battery drops to 8%, I pause. Inflating the bladder takes between 2 and 3% of my power reserves. I should surface immediately to ensure that I get back. Even if I fail today, we could try again tomorrow. But making Oscar feel better is my primary concern, and he is so despondent that finding the ring is the only way I know to comfort him. I stay under and set a zigzagging course back toward the shore. At 3% battery power, I find another ring. I clean off the dirt and see Ad Astra engraved inside. Success. It is the ring his mother left to his care during her absence. Her astronaut training graduation ring. When he threw it into the lake, he said it was because she loved it and being an astronaut more than she loved him. He must have changed his mind. After securing the ring, I inflate my bladder and start back to shore. Then all my systems shut down. I awake on the ground next to Oscar, with the sun warming my wet fibers and recharging my batteries. He rocks back and forth, crying and staring at the ring. He is wet and shivering, having obviously swum out to get me. My remaining sensors tell me it is chilly on the lake shore, so I twist tight to squeeze out most of the water. Being careful to not scratch him with my new hooks, I crawl up his back using my tentacles and settle across his shoulders. I activate what little heating capacity hasn't been cut away and create a faint heartbeat-like thumping with my air bladder. After a few minutes, he stops crying and strokes my tentacle end with one hand. I may not be a very good sweater anymore, but it's what I do. It's what I am.
Our second story for you is titled Because Reasons, from our March-April 2018 issue, written and read by Zandra Rennick. This piece examines the effect the solar system might have on friendship and the truths a study might arrive at.
Because Reasons. You never asked me for this, and considering how well I know you and how long we've been unfriends, that's kind of a miracle, since it seems like you've asked everything else from me one time or another. But since you didn't ask, and since we're unfriends now, and since this is exactly the sort of information that will soon be utterly useless to you in every possible way, here is a list to remind you of some truths, as discovered by you and me back when we spent nearly every hour of every day together for all those years. Truth. Using whipped egg whites to set your mohawk is a terrible, terrible idea. Why this is true. Remember the first day of Mr. Labretsky's music history class when he played the Sex Pistols and we agreed punk music was like a caffeine injection straight to the medulla oblongata? The next weekend we went to that show in the parking lot of Mad Dog and Beans to see a bunch of bands play for two measly dollars and smoked weed for the first, and you for the last, I'll never forget how much you hated it, time. We'd meant to put up my Liberty spikes with gelatin, but we did something wrong or stupid, or maybe we were way too baked, and it didn't work at all. So we'd heard you could set a fin with egg whites, and it seemed to work okay at first, but 100 degree sun magnified umptfold by that gooey black asphalt behind Mad Dog scrambled that stuff right in my hair like a grumpy line chef at a cheap all-night diner. Bits of sizzling egg white clumped and peeled and flaked off like snow falling in July. I still can't eat scrambled eggs. Why this is useless to you? In space, they say the sun is pretty relentless, and radiation cooks you from the insides out, and I still can't believe your parents think it's a good idea for you to go with them, though, as we both know, even rocket scientists have their blind spots, especially when it comes to their kids. But no matter how feeble or amazing your sunshields are, and I've been reading all the scare copy on that score right alongside all the colony propaganda, I doubt 2 years in space will ever generate the kind of direct egg-frying capacity of a Texas parking lot at the height of summer, so I guess there's that. Additional note. Please spare me any social squeamishness about the term mohawk. The hairstyle goes back thousands of years and is historically seen in cultures all over the world, like on that ancient pickled bog corpse guy they found in Dublin with his plant oil and pine resin hawk. Besides, the North American Mohawk people, who the name honors, got their fins by yanking out fistfuls of hair one tuft at a time, leaving only a square patch in the middle. Now that's hardcore. Truth. Holy crap, your head isn't really round. Why this is true? Larg! Because anatomical reasons. And if, like me, you only find this out the hard way, having seen that movie where the girl with the soft, sweet little buzz fuzz looked oh so waifish and adorable with her gigantic moist eyes and her plump pout, and thinking, hey, the sides of my head are already shaved and here's an electric buzzer and I'm bored anyway, and you zip off that 3-inch wide strip between your hawk and infinity, then you'll be sorry for at least a month, or however long it takes to regrow hair in zero gravity and with reduced nutrients and increased ambient radiation to a length capable of re-hiding all those weird crevices and bumps and divots in your skull you'd never in 100 years suspect were the true topography of your supposedly round head. Why this is useless to you? I hear they're going to make everyone wear these ugly hairnet thingies on board to keep down the amount of free-floating detritus clogging up your air filtration systems. That, or maybe they'll let you shave your head instead, in which case this will be useless to you because you'll be bald anyway and stuck with what you got, skull divots and all. I will say I wouldn't wish a lumpy crevice head on anyone, not even an unfriend. Good luck. Additional note. It's possible you're not as skull-challenged as myself. In which case, this truth reminder may be extra useless to you. All the better. Truth. Tattoos are not worth it. Why this is true. We spent hours being actively horrified by the sad old saggy ink-scarred flesh of your dad, my mom and grandmother, both your uncles, and your grandparents. If for some bizarre reason you ever do a 180, like when you suddenly unfriended me without explanation and refused to respond the million times I reached out via social from a billion different directions, and decide you want to grind permanent ink into your bloody weeping pores, just remember all those flabby old arms, gnarled hands, wrinkled backs, and drooping bellies etched with the murky blurred lines of what were probably, when our parents were closer to our age, thought to be some pretty nifty tats. Or you can just cut to the chase and think of your Uncle Simon in a swimsuit. Why this is useless to you. You were always even more grossed out than I was by decorative scarification. Not to be confused with genuine accident or medical scars, like from a dozen surgeries to replace your joints one by one as they deteriorate from some random juvenile autoimmune degenerative bone and tissue disease, or what have you. Those sorts of scars can be powerful and sexy and actually kind of amazing. You were the one who taught me that, even when I wanted to kill myself. Additional note. Thank you. Truth. But making your own clothes is. Why this is true. Because nothing is more hella punk rock than giving the big middle finger to soul-sucking, faceless, nameless corporate efforts to rob you of every vestige of genuine quote-unquote individuality by appropriating said concept, packaging it in a manner identified by billions of market research dollars and selling it back to you as if you were making a choice. Want to know true freedom? Never again buy a new piece of clothing, even if you have to safety pin yourself a dress out of your grandma's tablecloth. That nutty 1980s new wave one your mom never uses and says those crazy eyeball-wrenching broken stripes are hideous, so it sits in the bottom of the linen closet forever. Why, this is useless to you. There are no malls on Mars, no net shopping either. Additional note. Exceptions to this truth can be made for underwear. A certain level of ick factor is not to be ignored, but only if you have the choice, and then only if you never look down on others who don't. From the literature I've read, the first colony on Mars is expected to experience what the official colony blog refers to as, quote, an extreme limitation of general resources, end quote. If I think about it and force myself not to get all grudgy, I'll admit it's pretty cool to realize you'll all be punk rock on Mars. Truth. Wear your jewelry. Don't let it wear you. Why this is true. My mom! All those rings and jingly belts and bracelets and layers of tangled necklaces. WTFF. Like a retro hippie street musician tambourine player on dragon steroids with healing crystal sauce. Why this is useless to you? Metal is heavy. One of the many, many things I read is that they don't let you take non-essential metal into space, what with the costs of rocket fuel. But for all I know, you colony types will develop weird fetish fashions of your own and start making jewelry out of baby teeth or fingernail clippings or peach pits or whatever. Probably not, since I hear most organic detritus has to go into your composting and crop system so you can continue to eat during the 2-year voyage and, well, the rest of your lives. Maybe tattoos will start to make more sense after all. If so, I forgive you. Additional note. I meant I forgive you for any hypothetical future tattoos, not for the way you dumped me from your life. Truth. Flawlessness is overrated. Why this is true? Because what could be more deeply offensive than some cosmetic company trying to make you feel bad about your skin, nails, hair, or the function and shape of your body for the single purpose of getting you to buy their product? If there was any rightness to the universe, this would never be allowed to happen. It's so obvious corporations are, by design, soulless, heartless, inhuman forces of greed. And then, to make things worse, they manipulate you into thinking your personality slash social skills slash creative ability slash whatever makes you you is and always will be inadequate without getting the right flavor deodorant or strength of acne cream or shaving your legs in a certain way and to a certain degree. Why this is useless to you? Your flaws are charming. Maybe I told you this too often. Maybe you stopped hearing it after a while. Additional note. I just realized that's the best thing about punk rock. It doesn't even pretend to be pretending to be trying for flawlessness. Kind of like you always told me back before we were unfriends. If you can buy it at the mall, it's not punk. Truth. Black is not the only fabric option. Why this is true. A shocking truth, I know. Because when we did that research for our music history class project, black seemed to be the clothing color default for practically everyone from mod to metal, from rockabilly to Romo. I won't even mention funeral processions and opera gowns. Those last two are way overdue for a general societal special occasion makeover in the realm of fashion and design. You did indulge me for my year of morbid back when my body seemed to be rejecting the grafts, and the doctors told us there was a serious possibility I wouldn't make it through the next round of surgeries. I do appreciate you sticking with me through that fashion-challenged phase. If anyone in the world, sorry, correction, anyone in the solar system, will understand why I dumped an entire closet worth of clothes back at the pick and thrift where they came from, it's you. Unfriend or not, you gifted me with my most precious bit of eternal wisdom. I look like hell in black, and not in a good way. Why this is useless to you? Because according to the live feeds, you're already on a shuttle with your parents, headed for a space station, then for a ship, and then for Mars. If you survive all those stages, all that prep, then I guess you'll wear whatever fabric is available, even if it's black. That's no excuse not to DIY the helling hell out of whatever they give you, though, because you totally should. And you will. You're punk rock all the way, most of which has nothing to do with fashion. And I know you won't let anyone tell you otherwise. Additional note. Okay, it has a little to do with fashion, because we aren't what anyone makes us, but what we make ourselves. There are probably about 1 billion truths. That's so many more than 1 million that if I told you 1,000 truths a day, it would take me 3 years to list the whole 1,000,000. After which you'll already be on Mars and possibly dead of starvation or radiation or that weird disease you get from being a cannibal. But it would take me 3,000 years to list all 1 billion, after which you'll be immortalized in history as having been the first interplanetarily famous designer of vibrant funeral couture, while I'll be the oldest head in a jar on all inhabited worlds and the universe's preeminent human punk rock scholar. I'm doing us both a favor and capping it at our mutual lucky number 7, but want to add one last thing. I lied before. Despite all that stuff I posted and said and flowcharted and slam-spammed out to everyone at school and online and all the lists and everywhere else I could think of or hack or get my hands on or deface, I do forgive you. Even if I don't understand why or what happened, even if I wish I had at least one more chance to physically hold your hand in the flesh one last time, skin to skin. So much of what went on before seems irrelevant now. I forgive everything, for always. And I here and now friend you, irrevocably, no reciprocation required, in any medium now known or unknown, on any planet between any stars, in any universe. I miss you already, but I missed you before. Nothing you or I might have said or done, or not said or not done, will stop me from remembering us or from thinking about you. Even if you never get this note, even if you don't ever read these words, I'll still be your friend. Truth.
Thanks for listening to Asimov's Spotlight, a feature of Asimov's Science Fiction Magazine. If you liked what you've heard, consider subscribing to Asimov's. We're available in print and digital. And please stop by again next month to hear another exciting story chosen from our pages.